You know, God is so good in finding us in our spiritual need and confusion, ignorance, whatever it might be, and lead us to a point of understanding and a conviction and of understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And those spiritual journeys are amazing, just what God does. And He finds us all in different places and different stages and different levels of understanding or, you know, just lack thereof, and He leads us. And we come to understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And as the truth, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And what a privilege that is. And then the promise that as we become His child through faith in His Son and the truth of the gospel, Philippians 1:6, that He which has begun the good work in you, God promises to complete it, to help us to continue to grow and to be more like His Son and one day to be in His presence. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so God is so good and so faithful to fulfill His plan and purpose of redemption, not just for the world, but for our lives individually. And that's an exciting thing. And it's a great privilege. Therefore, we ought to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him who is our reasonable service. And I trust that will be our response. Rich Wiley had just written a note thanking you for your calls and cards and your prayers on his behalf as he's recovering from his knee replacement surgery. So thank you for your ministry to Rich. As it relates to Impact Campus Ministries, there'll be an offering plate back on the back there if you'd like to give in some tangible way to their work. And there's a table back there as well. You might just take note of those things. All right? I'll try to be briefer this morning, okay, since we enjoy these testimonies together. But turn, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we've been going through this series for quite a while here on the letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians. And the theme of the series is the call to holiness. And the extended theme is that God has called Christians, all Christians, to holiness in every area of life. And we've been looking at some of those things. As Paul addressed them and the needs in the church there, the particular divisions or issues that they were dealing with, Paul dealt with some things there as it relates to some of the concerns that he had to help these people to be more holy in their walk with the Lord and their growth in the Lord. And then here from about chapter 7 on, Paul is answering some of their questions about various issues. We don't have the questions, we only have the answers. And so we're just taking Paul's answers to certain questions and trying to make application to our lives. And this morning, we're in a section of this letter now that Paul is talking about areas of Christian liberty, or personal rights or freedoms that believers are asking about. And in context, really the issue that they were dealing with was meat that had been offered in these idol worshiping meat that had been offered, and whether Christians now that know the true God, Jesus Christ, have the liberty or freedom to either go into the marketplace around the temple, some of these idol temples here, and eat of that meat, to partake of it. It had been offered to idols. Now it's being used in establishments. People are buying it, can buy it at a reduced price. There was some practical benefit to it in their own living of life. But could they take this meat that had been dedicated and offered to idols and partake of it? And so they were struggling with this question, and it was causing division because there were some believers there, new believers, that thought it was appropriate to do so. An idol is nothing. It's just an idol. It's nothing. We know the true God. And others were more sensitive of conscience, a weaker brother, the scripture would describe. They were not less spiritual, but they would struggle with that and through various reasons would say, "No, I just can't partake of that." So how should we approach this issue? How should we approach other believers that believe different things about these things? And so that's where we are in this section of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians 9 now, and in 1520, Martin Luther wrote a paper called The Freedom of the Christian. And he cited our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when he made this statement. Luther said this, "A Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. And a Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all." How can one be free to do whatever he pleases, yet be servant of all? Well, our text this morning sort of taking this seeming contradiction of being free to do certain things, but yet choosing to become servant of all. And so the text is taking this seeming contradiction and bringing to a resolution. Because we're reminded, we've been taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and the early portions of chapter 9, that if we have the love of Christ in us, we will show that love to others. And one of the ways that we show that love is that we will have no trouble limiting our freedoms, our personal rights and freedoms, our liberty, even to the point of what we would think of as bondage or slavery. And so Paul has taught us, and we've looked at it already, that the Corinthians, that love must govern our Christian liberty. I have rights, I have freedoms, I have liberty, but that liberty, those freedoms, have to be governed by a love for God and a love for others. And so we just finished a couple of weeks ago looking at the first part of chapter 9, where Paul kind of uses himself as an example, and he says, listen, I'm an apostle. I've seen the risen Lord, and I've earned a right to be paid. And he used all those questions about that. But he said that I'm going to set that right aside so not to cloud the gospel like some preachers in his day were doing. I'm going to set aside the right to be paid because I don't want, in preaching the gospel, me being paid, as others maybe are, I don't want that to cloud my gospel ministry. And now he's going to emphasize the motivation for that, why he surrendered his rights in that area. And so our theme this morning is really going to flow in two general points. One being that we're going to see that liberty was limited. Liberty is limited. And Paul is going to, and has already proven that he is going to limit his freedoms, his rights, his liberty, so that Christ is gained. So that's the thought this morning. Liberty is limited. Why? What's the motivation for limiting our liberty? It's so Christ is gained. And so the application to us will be, yes, we may have various rights or liberties in these areas that the scriptures are not black and white or they're commanded. We may have particular liberties, but we, like Paul, as he highlights himself as an example, we should be willing to limit those liberties for the purpose of Christ being gained. And we'll talk about what that means. And so those are our two themes this morning, and we're going to try to figure out how they go together. Let's start in verse 15 of chapter 9. And we're just going to kind of walk through this passage here. Paul says, "But I have used none of these things, these rights, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done under me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying or boasting void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Truly, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Why? That I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, Gentiles, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. So we're going to see this morning something of Paul limiting his liberties and something of Christ being gained, and how does that go together? So let's just kind of try to walk through the passage here quickly so we can understand what Paul is saying. Verses 1 through 14, we looked at 2 weeks ago. Paul had established that he was an apostle. He had the right to be paid for his ministry. We saw in verse 12 of chapter 9 that he was willing to set aside that right for gospel purposes. And now in verse 15, he begins with the emphasis on his motivation. So he repeats his motivation in verse 15. But I have used none of these things. I haven't used my right as an apostle to be paid. Okay, I've used none of these things for my own benefit. And I'm not writing this to you to put pressure on you to compensate me for my gospel ministry. In other words, he's not trying to manipulate them. Like, I'm an apostle, I've seen the risen Lord, you're the proof of my apostleship in the Lord, look how you've come to know Christ and you've grown, pay up, pay up. So he's not trying to manipulate them based upon his ministry. And so he's not trying to secure any provision. Then in the last statement of verse 15, he says there, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. And so Paul, he is so committed to the gospel, he said, I would rather die than misrepresent or lose the opportunity to share the gospel just to get something for himself. And so he talks about this glorying or this boasting. What is Paul talking about when he says, I would rather die, all right, than that any man should make my glorying void? What is this boasting? Because whatever this boasting of Paul is, he's passionate enough about it that he's willing to die and not lose this ground for his boasting. We don't use the word boast much except for maybe a song here and there in our hymnal. We sing one of our newer hymns. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Christ alone. And so Paul is talking about this boasting. And really what this boasting is, it's not something negative. It's not like Paul saying, look at me. This boasting is really the ground for his standing, the evidence of his position in Christ. In other words, what he's going to glory in, his boasting, is really, he's saying, is really just a proof or evidence that I am in Christ, that I'm the child of God. And it's what he boasts in. So it's not an arrogant self-promotion that he's talking about in this boasting, but what he's saying is that what I'm doing for the Lord is simply a means whereby it gives me a standing, it gives me a position, a place that I can rejoice in what I am in Christ. It's the proof of being in Christ. It's proof of his Christ-likeness. So really, Paul's talking about this confidence in being a Christian, in resting in his willingness to lay aside rights in order to facilitate the gospel. And he's saying, nobody will take that boasting from me. This great privilege to go through life and lay aside my rights for the purpose of facilitating the gospel going out. It's basically a love for God that produces a love for others and those that know not Christ, and it also produces a love for other believers. Those two great commandments. And so it's the reason for Paul's existence, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And so Paul says, I'm not going to let anyone take this boasting from me. I'm not going to let anybody take this possession or this evidence that I am in Christ, the evidence being I sacrifice my personal rights for the sake of gospel ministry. Okay? You know, most of us are thinking, okay, as we talk about this area of Christian liberty, you know, I really wouldn't give up my rights unless there's some extreme case that might help somebody in not exercising my Christian liberty. That's how we kind of look at giving up maybe something I can legitimately do as a believer in some areas. That, you know, I wouldn't really give up my rights unless it was some extreme case where maybe I could help somebody for a period of time in their lives and not exercising my Christian liberty. But Paul's just the opposite. Paul said, I'd rather die. I'd rather die and be gone than lose the privilege of demonstrating what it looks like for Christ to lay aside his rights in order to save us. And if Christ was willing to lay aside his rights, Philippians chapter 2, being in the form of God, he thought not robbery to be equal with God, that this deity was not something that he had to hold on to, and he grasped and said, no, I will not let this go. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the cross death. He gave up that right of being God, and he came and took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself. And if Christ did that for me, then I would rather die than not have the privilege of reflecting that to this unbelieving world. That's what Paul is saying here, okay? That's what is Paul saying. He continues in verse 17. For I do this willingly. If I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is upon me. In other words, whether Paul did it willingly or unwilling, the reality was is that he was still entrusted with a stewardship of the gospel. Okay? In other words, the weight of gospel responsibility was placed upon me. Necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. That was the mission that God had given to him. And so he's emphasizing that his boasting is not in his preaching. Like, look at me. I'm Paul, the great gospel preacher. No, that's not what he's boasting in. It isn't connected to his preaching and any monetary gain from his preaching. No, his one boast again is that he's willing to lay aside his rights to display Christ-likeness and to make the gospel known. And there's a reward. There's a benefit for doing that. He's not expecting monetary compensation. His reward is this. Paul's great gain is that he doesn't get anything that helps him gain. He gains preaching that has no reciprocation. That's his reward. That he can make the gospel free of charge. Okay? As there have always been preaching charlatans in the world. But Paul says, that's my boast. That I lay aside my rights that I can make the gospel without charge. His reward is internal. Preaching without expecting anything, though he had the right to it. And so he's living with a greater cause, the gospel. Paul is making it clear that this is a deep, significant motivation. What a privilege, folks, that we can go through life surrendering our rights and liberties for a much greater cause than enjoying those rights and liberties. That's a great privilege. That we can go through life within the body, that we can go through life surrendering rights for the sake of the gospel and the gospel working in other people's lives. And so he calls that a reward in verse 18. Okay, that I can make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my right in the gospel. And so he's simply saying that's what Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, this is how I know I'm a Christian, because I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in verse 19 and says that he's free in various ways. He says, for though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I am free, but I have made myself a doulos. A couple words for servant in the New Testament. One of them is diakonos. We get our word deacon from that. Okay, they serve the Lord. They serve the pastor. They serve the body. But another word for servant is doulos. It means a slave. So Paul says, listen, I'm free from all men, But I will follow Christ's example and I will make myself a doulos, a slave of all. See, he was a servant. I am free from all men, but I will make myself servant of all. Now he's going to unfold what that looks like. What did it look like for Paul to be a servant of all? He wants us to make sure we understand. And he gives us some examples here in verse 20. To the Jew, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, that describes a Jew as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. So he was a Jew, okay? But yet Paul says, listen, even though I'm a Jew, I can exercise my Christian liberty, okay? In other words, Paul says, listen, I'm a Jew, but I can enjoy that salty ham, okay? Paul says, I'm free, okay? I can enjoy that meat offered to idols, but how can I lay aside that right in order to have a clear, undistracted conversation with a Jew about the gospel, okay? In other words, Paul says, I have that right, but yet I'm going to lay aside that right so I can have an undistracted conversations with Jews, and I'm going to limit obstacles of the gospel in their lives. I'm going to abide by the rituals. I'm going to fulfill Jewish obligations or dietary laws. I'm willing to adapt, so that when I'm sitting right next to them, I can speak clearly of Christ without obstacle. Okay? To those that are under the law, what law? Well, it's the law of Moses. There is a law that he feels free from for now, at this point, but a law that Jews would feel very much under. And so Paul is willing to live out those things in a practical way. So when Paul is ministering to them, he is not going to let his Christian liberty interfere with that. Because Paul says, I will die daily to any of these freedoms because my purpose is to live for Christ and to make Christ known. Okay? To those outside the law, verse 21, Gentiles. They weren't guided by the law of Moses. Okay? But when Paul went to visit his Gentile friends, now free from the law, oh happy condition, he didn't say, sorry, I can't have the ribs tonight that you're serving. Okay? He didn't say that. He's going to fit right in with them when it comes to cultural practices that would distinguish someone as a Gentile versus a Jew. All right? Now, let me say, as we look at this, because we often feel, or sometimes this verse has been used as a license to this language of becoming all things to all men that I might win some. Sometimes this verse and this language is used to say, well, then I can kind of just integrate myself into certain activities. Be clear, Paul is not talking about theological compromise. When Paul says, when I was with the Jew, I became as a Jew, it doesn't mean that teachings are things that they would hold that would be contrary to Christ and who he was and the Messiah and all these things. Paul's not talking about theological compromise. What does he say in Galatians chapter 1? Let them be accursed if they come preaching any other gospel. He was committed to truth. It's not ecumenicalism. It's not pragmatism. It's not being like the world so they will accept us. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not toning down holiness, all right? So not to offend anyone with God's truth. No, in context, this is Paul limiting his Christian liberty when it comes to the daily practices of culture and society. Here's the phrase. We could call it adaptability with biblical integrity. That's what Paul's doing. Adaptability, Jew, Gentile, the weak, okay? The weak, the weaker brother. He would restrict himself, all right? It's adaptability with biblical integrity. Jesus did it in his gospel living. John chapter 3, he's there with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, religious leader. He's asking these very probing questions that get down to the heart issue. His heart, you must be born again. And then John chapter 4, we see him there at the well with the Samaritan woman, this half-breed Gentile Jew that they had no dealings with. And yet he's there dealing with this woman in an entirely different way. We see in the life of Christ this adaptability that is rich with biblical integrity. They referred to him as a friend of sinners. He eats with publicans and sinners. He was adaptable, but he maintained his biblical integrity. There was no compromise or truth of godliness. It's just that the reality is, folks, we interact and talk with different people. These young people on Penn State campus mentioned many times, and Phil does as well, you're interacting with people, different people, with different worldviews and cultures, with different practices. And we have to be adaptable, but we have to maintain our biblical identity and our biblical integrity. Okay? If I'm with Jews, I can adapt, minister to the Jews, even though I'm not bound by the law of Moses. Okay? I can still sit there and eat their food and be fine because what my conversation about is to present Christ unhindered. Well, that may be lunch. What about dinner time when he's sitting with some Corinthian Gentiles, okay, who have never heard that some people would never eat pork? What? What? There's people that don't eat pork? What? Okay? They never heard of that. And Paul would be able to sit down with those Corinthian believers, those Gentiles, and be able to interact with them and have a conversation with them that was undistracted. Paul says, when I'm with the Gentiles, I don't care what they eat or what cultural practice they are. I want to be an example of Christ. He's not going to pick an obstacle to set in their way as it relates to their conversation with him. To the weak, who are the weak? Verse 22. I think it's in context, it's the weaker brother. That had restricted themselves for conscience or other reasons, most likely a Christian. Paul is saying to the weak, I became weak. He already proved it in verse 13 of chapter 8, I will eat no meat. I'm willing to eat no meat. Okay? It's going to keep the gospel from working the life of a brother. And so Paul knows where he stands. He knows the truth. He is simply accommodating those who think that that's important in some of these issues. Paul would be saying to the weak, you know, I don't need meat on my plate. What I need by compulsion is to share Christ by exemplifying Christ with people. And then the summary in verse 22, to the weak become I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Again, this is not a license to unholiness, to compromise our Christianity in some way. When somebody would use that text to defend doing things that would be contrary to holiness, we need to, and they may have a misunderstanding of that text, we need to walk them through that text to help them understand exactly what Paul is teaching. Paul is very careful to say that what he would do to become all things to all men never crosses the boundary of one particular law. Okay, not the law of Moses in verse 20, but the law of Christ. In other words, his choices of what he would do as he tried to adapt, Paul did, within the culture and maintain biblical integrity, it's not like I'm not under any law. He's not under the law of Moses. He says, listen, I'm under the law of Christ. And there's a lot that can be said there. Okay? Lest we have any fear that somehow he has just walked away from the law and moral character of God, he says, no, I am under the law of Christ. And if he is under the law of Christ, we can just scratch from our minds the fear of becoming all things to all men, because we are under the umbrella of the law of Christ. The conclusion, verse 23, Paul says, I do it for the sake of the gospel, that he might share in it with them, with the blessings. He says, I'm partakers in it with you, that I might be a sharer or a partaker in the gospel. So our final question, so how does our theme that liberty is limited so Christ can be gained emerge out of this text? Well, I think we've seen that liberty was limited. How do we see it? Paul says in verse 15, I have made no use of these rights. I have them. They are mine. I deserve to be paid. My pockets are full of rights and I'm not pulling out any of them. He says, I'm going to suppress and limit them because it helps me preach the gospel. He says in verse 18, I abuse not my right in the gospel. Okay? Verse 19, though I am free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all. He was clearly free, but he limited himself to become a slave. In verse 20, he says, I limit my liberty to win the Jews. I limit my liberty to win the Gentiles. I limit my liberty to help the weak. Why does he do this? Well, it's clear. Okay? All right? It's clear. The answer is that Christ may be gained. We look in verses 19 and following, we see the word gained five times. So what does gaining or gaining people mean? What does it mean to gain Jews, to gain Gentiles, to gain the weaker brother, to gain all men? Okay? Well, the gaining has the idea of winning. Okay? Has the idea of winning. It's the idea of winning Jews, to win Gentiles, to win the weak, to win all people. Okay? In other words, to minister to Jews and to gain them from being under the law to salvation and faith in Christ instead of law keeping. To the Gentiles, that they are won to the lordship of Christ. They are without the law. They're not under the law. So Paul wanted to win them to the lordship of Christ. To the weak, I'll become as weak that I might win the weak unto maturity in Christ. And so the ultimate end to each conversation is helping them better understand Christ. He was willing to limit his liberties that Christ is gained. That meant salvation for some. It meant maturity and sanctification for other people. That's why Paul would say, I would rather die. I would rather die than give up that privilege. I'll limit whatever right I need for the sake of advancing the gospel in the lives of other people. No one will take that right from me. And so that's what he's boasting in. That's what he's glorying in. This is how Paul knew he was a Christian. Okay? This is how he knew he was a Christian. He wanted to partake in the privileges and blessings of the gospel. And so that's what Paul is saying, that he can evidence Christ. If you tenaciously hold on to your rights, Paul says, I suspect that you are, whether you are even holding on to Christ. Okay? And so Paul is willing to sacrifice and surrender in order to promote Christ and not to promote himself. You know, how does that look? Let me just share a kind of a negative example of Christians. Because a lot of times that doesn't sound like most Christians these days. A negative example of God's people holding on to just such petty rights and the gospel being limited. I had a fellow teacher, Joy and I did in Kansas City, that was a Bible teacher there, a wonderful Bible teacher. And he felt the Lord calling him into ministry. So he took a small struggling church in Wisconsin to start pastoring there. And as he got there, he evaluated, he determined, okay, what needs to change, what, you know, whether they were just admitted, just various things, you know. And so he started to implement a couple changes for various purposes. One of them was he asked the nursery workers if after every nursery time, if they could wash and disinfect the toys. Now, those of you that work in the nursery or have ever had babies, you know why that has to be done. Because hands, mouth, drool, it's not a pretty sight. Even what we can see, let alone what we can't see. Okay? And you know, nursery ministry is very important because if a visitor comes in, especially someone that doesn't know the Lord, would walk into a nursery, how you treat their children very much determines their receptivity to a body of believers or maybe even the gospel. Would you agree? And as he tried to implement this policy, there were believers in this church that said, no, I'm quitting the nursery. Yeah, stunned, right? Like, what? You don't even understand that from a practical hygiene perspective, let alone a gospel perspective? He also implemented that to make their experience from the parking lot in more welcoming, he asked some of his Christian school staff who had gotten used to during the week and over the years parking in parking spaces close to the buildings. He said, listen, for Sundays as you come to church, we'd ask that you not park in those spaces right adjacent to the building. We want to save those for guests, for those that are visiting. And you know what happened? Some teachers didn't do that. They refused to do that. They said, no, I've parked there for years, or whatever ridiculous statements they made to themselves. And they parked in those spots. They refused to give up whatever right they thought they had. A parking spot? Are you kidding me? They wouldn't give it up for the sake of the gospel. My friend, how about us? How about us? What about our willingness to give up, to lay aside certain things, to limit our freedoms for the sake of Christ gaining, the gospel gaining? What about you? Are we willing? Are we living with that passion? That, listen, I want you to see this is a reflection of my standing in Christ. This is what Christ did for me in salvation. So I should be willing to do it practically in my life, to lay aside certain things, certain freedoms, certain rights, certain privileges, certain parking places, certain pews. I will lay aside things. I will wash nursery toys. I will do whatever for the sake of the gospel. That has to be our passion. That has to be our boasting. Okay. May we have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the cross death. And so may we follow his example in our lives. Father, thank you again for Jesus Christ. Father, you call us now to go from this place to live out the gospel to Jew, to Gentile, to weak, to all men. Lord, help us to be able to adapt and to maintain our biblical integrity with the commitment, the desire to display Christ to others, to make the gospel presentation and conversations without distraction, without obstacle. That the word of God, the gospel, may have free course, that it might run. For it is the power of God of salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.